Okay, both yesterday and today there were meetings about the coronavirus. And they basically said that they were recommending that faculty be very kind about attendance, which is not a problem, and that they get as much online in case the place closes down or in case the world closes down. But we're all set for that, too. So if the school isn't operating, this course will continue to operate. Okay, so you can continue to just take this course, only it will be taking it online now. It's set up to be either taken online or in class, so it will become an online class if that happens. And the recordings are there from last semester, last fall, last spring, whatever. So you can look at the smart boards, listen to the recordings, and the assignments will go up, and it will be as if I was teaching this class online, which I frequently do. There is one section of this class that's totally online now, and there is a, in the summer I teach a section online and everything, so we're all set. So it will just continue as normal, but you'll be working out of home or something. If anybody has a problem with having a computer availability, they should let me know, and we can figure out something. But that's the only issue that I see as a problem. Questions? There's a big meeting. I don't know whether it's for the faculty and staff or whether it's for everybody, but there's some big meeting today to discuss what the school's going to do in a variety of circumstances. So, and as I said, I went to a meeting yesterday that started that discussion. Okay, any questions about JavaScript? We'll also try to figure out if that happens, how Joe can keep working, but work online more, so that you can send him, questions, and he can be an online tutor as opposed to available here. Okay. So, any questions about JavaScript? Mainly, if you do, you want to see Joe. Okay, so the one thing I do want to point out is let's bring up a JavaScript example, if I can find one. I must have something on my... Okay, I'm looking for something, and that's what I should have done while I was waiting. Yeah, I guess I'll go with third, whatever that is. Okay, so there is a program, and that isn't going to have JavaScript in it, is it? I'm recording.
Okay.
But now I'm looking for a JavaScript problem. Are there... Yeah, we'll just bring up one of these. I don't know why I was thinking I wanted it on my website. I didn't get a lot of sleep last night. That's why. Okay, let's take a look at final if with loop. So this has got, at the beginning of the loop, I've got 4 points. Then I've got 4 points. And now I've got 12 points. And a few more points. Okay. Now, if I wrote this and I developed a problem, and it wouldn't run, and I get the white screen of death, or I get some other problem that I encounter. Okay, so I can come up here, and let's say that in the prompt, I forget the T. Okay, I need to save that. So in the prompt, I forget the T. Okay, so I do a file save as test.js.html. And I come over here and I'm going to say file, open file. And the file I want to open is this one, test.js. So there's test.js. And count at beginning of loop, and then I get a white screen because it can't give me a prompt because I misspelled prompt. So if I go up here to tools, web developer, web console, and I click on that, it gives me some hints about what might have gone wrong. Okay, so this one says PROMP is not defined. Okay, so it's given me a hint about what went wrong. If I come over here, it tells me that it is in this program on line 10. So you can go and look at what line 10 has. And line 10 is going to be, see how it says line 10 down here? Line 10 has got the word PROMP. You look at it and say, oh, that's an error. I'll change that to a T, and maybe my program will run. The other thing it's giving you, which you can pretty much ignore, is that there is a way of doing HTML5 for documents that has doc type at the beginning and all that, and they're kind of nagging you to do that. But that's not going to make it not run. We just haven't emphasized that because we're more looking at logic than anything else. So you can go in and fix this. Okay, so I've now fixed it. I've now saved it. And if I go over here and do a refresh, I'm getting the prompt. So it's now working. Okay, so that's a clue. I like to have you fight through the stuff with JavaScript a little bit so I don't tell you the clues at the beginning. But that's a clue to help you find some errors. Okay, so you can use that in finding errors. And I've got to take a picture. Oh, that didn't do it. I will. Come on, let's just go.
Check the box. Prevent from being
additional. No, it just, you can check that box. But it's just going for a certain number. So I'm coming up here under Tools, Web Developer, Web Console. And that's the picture that I wanted to take. And if you get into the Web Console, it gives you the errors down there. Yes. Okay, and that's why I wanted to take a picture. So if you forget that, here it is. I go into Tools, then Web Developer, then Web Console. Okay, and you can get some hints. It's not always terribly helpful, but you can at least get some hints as to what could have gone wrong. Okay, so back to my page. I'm basically taking a break from programming, and we're going to look at numbering systems, which is something the department wanted included in this course. So we will look at those and then go back to programming with Visual Basic. So these are the numbering system notes. And I made a little note up there that this was probably written 20 years ago. And the stuff about numbering systems is just fine, because numbering systems aren't going to change ever. So these are just fine. But at the end, there's some write-ups about codes that are no longer used. Okay, so just ignore the part about codes, because they're not used anymore. We use ASCII now, and we'll look at ASCII, but it's not on this handout. Okay, so the decimal number system, as we all know, is got positions. And we call them the ones, positions, the tens, the hundreds, but in fact they're powers of 10. So 10 to the 0 is defined as 1. 10 to the 1st is 10. 10 squared is 100. And 10 cubed is 1,000, and so forth, going up. And so a number is made up of two things, its face value and its positional value. Okay, so the 4 has a different meaning in what column it's in. So it's the face value and the positional value. And there are numbering systems for a lot of needs, and one of them is binary, because the computer operates on an on-off switch type things. And so binary is perfect for that because it has zeros and ones. Okay. So with binary, when I set it up, the positional values are the powers of 2 because it's base 2. Decimal is base 10. Binary is base 2. Okay. So 2 to the 0 is defined as 1. Everything to the 0 power is defined as 1. 2 to the 1st is 2, 2 squared is 4, 2 cubed is 8, 2 to the 4th is 16, 2 to the 5th is 32, 2 to the 6th is 64, and you can keep going forever. Okay? So what I need to convert this to decimal, when I want to convert binary to decimal, I multiply the face value times the positional value. And it doesn't matter whether you start at the high end or the low end, you're going to end up with the same thing. I multiply the face value times the position value. So 1 times 64 is 64, okay? Because I'm doing 1 times 2 to the 6 equals 1 times 64 equals 64. Then the next one is 0. 0 times 32 is 0. So I can just ignore the 0 ones. I don't have to write those out. The next one is a 1. 1 times 2 to the 4th is 1 times 16. The next one is a 0. No, it's a 1 again, sorry. And that's 1 times 8. And then a 0, and then 1, and 1. Okay, so I add those up, and they make 91. So if I give you this number, what is that going to be? You write the little 2 down here to indicate it's in binary. What is that going to be in decimal? So give that a try. Pencil out would be a great time to do attendance. Okay, what did anybody get?
54.
So this is 2 to the 0, which is 1. 2 to the 1st, which is 2. 2 squared, which is 4. 2 to the 3rd, which is 8. 2 to the 4th, which is 16. 2 to the 5th, which is 32. So anything that has a 1 on it, I just add. So this would be 32 plus 16. I skipped the 8 because it has a 0, 4, and 2. And if I add those up, I've got 54. Okay, so the answer is 54. And that gives an example about that. It goes through the 91 example. So this was an example of the binary numbering systems converting binary to decimal. Then we come to the next thing of converting decimal to binary. Okay, so I want to convert decimal to binary. So let's say I have 73 in decimal, and I want to convert that to binary. Okay, so I start out, and I can write out my powers of 2, or after a while, you just write 1, 2, 4, 8, 16, 32, 64, 128, and so forth, rather than write out all of the 2 to the 0, 2 to the 1st, 2 to the 2nd. I know that 2 to the 0 is 1, 2 to the 1st is 2, 2 to the 2nd is 4, 2 to the 3rd is 8, so I write them out that way. Okay, so for 73, I say, okay, what do I need to turn on to get 73? And I don't need the 128, that's bigger than 73. I do need the 64, so I put a 1 there. Okay, so 73 minus 64 leaves me with 9 that I've got to account for. So that means I'm not going to use the 32, I'm not going to use the 16. What about the 8? Yes, I'm going to use the 8. And so the 8 leaves me 1. So am I going to use the 4? No. Am I going to use the 2? No. Am I going to use the 1? Yes. Okay, so I've turned on the 1, the 8, the 64. Okay, so this is equal to 1001001. So in binary, that is 100001. Did anybody come up with that? Or were you doing it with me? Okay. So now let's try 134 and convert that over to binary. Thank you. So what did anybody get?
100000110.
Yep. Okay, I've got the numbering system written here, so I'm just going to stick it in. I need the 128. So 134 minus 128 leaves me with 6. So that means I don't need the 64, I don't need the 32, I don't need the 16, I don't need the 8. The 4 I can use. So minus 4 gives me 2. And I can use the 2 therefore. And I'm at 0, so I can't use the 1. So I put a 0 in there. Okay? So that gives me 100000110. Okay? So I can go back and forth using binary, converting it to decimal, and converting it from decimal back into binary. Okay. Questions? Okay, so there is a feeling that if you're in the computer field, you should understand binary. So we're going to look at a little more of binary. So binary, when I count, goes 0, 1, and then on up. And if you look at this, you can see where it starts out with, is 0 is 0, 1 is 1. 2 is 10. Okay, so if I have a 10, that is 2 to the 0, 2 to the 1st. Okay, so that's a 2 is equal to 10. So if I have 10 and I add 1 to it, 1 and 0 is 1, bring down the 1. And if I add 1 more to it, 1 plus 1 is 10. Hold down the 0, carry the 1. 1 plus 1 is 10. And then if I add 1 to that, 0 plus 1 is 1. 0, 1. And then if I add 1 to that, 1 plus 1 is 10. Put down the 0, carry the 1. 1 plus 0 is 1, 1. And then if I add 1 to that, I get up to 1, 1, 1. Okay. And then if I add 1 to 1, 1, 1, 1 plus 1 is put down the 0, carry the 1. 1 plus 1 is 10, put down the 0, carry the 1. 1 plus 1 is 10. So I can keep adding like that, adding 1 to it, and it keeps growing as I go. Okay? And the converting to decimal, this is a 1, 2, 4, 8. So this is an 8. In decimal. So I start out with 1, and 1 plus 1 is 10. I probably should have done that up at the top. So my first thing is 1, and 1 plus 1 is 10. Okay. And then I add 1 more, and it goes to 11, and I add 1 more, and it goes to 100, and it keeps growing like that. And at any point, I can look at one of those answers and convert it over to decimal. So 101, okay, with 101, I've turned on the 1 and I've turned on the 4. So 1 and 4 make 5, and if I come over here, that's what 5 is. Okay. So if I have the binary, I can convert it to the decimal. And if I have the decimal, I can convert it back to the binary. But that's counting in binary. Okay. So if I'm counting in binary, the next thing I want to know is how to do an add or a subtract, just because I want to manipulate binary numbers. So if I have 1011 and 1100 and 1010 and 1111, or actually I can back up to one of just the three. So now I want to do an addition. So I look at this column and say 1 plus 0 is 1, plus another 0 is still 1. So I put down the 1. 1 plus 0 is 1, plus 1 is 1, 0. 1 plus 1 is 1, 0. So I put down the 0 and I carry the 1. 1 plus 1 is 1, 0. I just skip the zeros. 1 plus 1 is 1, 0. Put down the 0 and carry the 1. 1 plus 1 is 1, 0. Plus 1 is 1, 1. Plus 1 is 1, 0, 0. And again, you can follow along here. 1 plus 1 is 1, 0. Plus 1 is 1, 1. Plus 1 more is 1, 0, 0. So that is 100. Okay, so that's the answer in doing that add. I can also then look at what these numbers are equivalent to in decimal. 1011 is what?
33.
Okay, I've got 1011. So the 1 is turned on, the 2 is turned on, and the 8 is turned on. So it is equal to 11.
Hold on, what?
Right?
Oh, the 1011.
Yes.
I'm sorry, I thought you were saying the whole number.
No. Now what's the 1100 equal to?
12.
12. Because the 8 is on, and the 2 and the 4 is on. Is on, so that's equal to 12. And in this one, the 8 is on and the 2 is on, so that's equivalent to 10. Okay? So if I add these up, it's 33. Now I'm going to make the answer equivalent. I've got a 1, no 2, no 4, no 8, no 16, but there is a 32. And so those together make a 33, so I can confirm that my answer is correct, because when I converted it to decimal and did the math, I came up with the same 33. So I know that my answer is correct, because I came up with 33. Does that make sense? Okay, so let's try that one. Thank you. Okay, somebody different. What is the answer? What?
39.
Okay, 39 decimal. Before we get there, what's the answer in binary?
100111.
100111. Anybody buy into that? Yes, no, maybe? You did? Huh? Who's going to know?
Oh, no. No. He's right.
He's right?
That's right.
Okay. So, 1 plus 1 is 10, plus 1 is 11. Put down the 1, carry the 1. 1 plus 1 is 10, plus 1 is 11. Put down the 1, carry the 1. 1 plus 1 is 10, plus 1 is 11. Put down the 1, carry the 1. 1 plus 1 is 10, plus 1 is 11, plus 1 is 100. Okay, so that's the answer. Now to check it in binary, in this case I have the 1, 2, and 4 turned on, so that's a 7. Okay? That 1, 2, 4, and 8 you're going to kind of memorize and know it's going to happen so often. So that's a 7. Here I have the 1, the 2, and the 8, so what's that?
11.
11. Now I've got the 8 and the 4, and that's?
12.
And what's the 1, 0, 0, 1?
9.
9. So if I add these up, I've got 39. And then if I turn these and say I've got a 1, a 2, a 4, no 8, no 16, but I got a 32. 32 plus 4 is 36, 37, 38, 39. So I'm coming up with 39 for this. So that's just a way to check it. Add it up binary, and you can check it by converting everything to decimal and then try adding that up. Okay, now I'm going to look at a subtraction. So if I have 1010, and I want to subtract 101. So I'm going to do subtraction. So I can't subtract 1 from 0. So I have to borrow 1. And when I borrow 1, I bring over the 10. 1 from 10 is 1. 0 from 1, 0 from 0, because this is now nothing, is 0. 1 from 10, again, I have to borrow 1 from 10, leaves me 1. And I've already borrowed from there, so there's nothing out there. So this gives me 101. I can check it the way we do. 1 plus 1 is 10, I think I'll use the column. 1 plus 1 is 10, put down the 0, carry the 1. 1. 1 plus 1 is 10. So I can check it that way. I can also say the 8 and the 2 are turned on, that's a 10. 4 and 1 are turned on, that's a 5. So there's 5 here. And the answer is also 5. 4 and 1 is 5. So the answer is already 5. So when I'm borrowing, I borrow 10. The difference between this and decimal is in decimal, there are 10 ones in 10. In binary, there are 2 ones in 10. 1 plus 1 is 10. So when I borrow 1 from 10, I only have 1 left. Okay, because there are 2 ones in there. buy that one. What's the top number?
It's 19.
19. And the next number is 7. So I know my, I'm sorry. 1, 2, 4. Yes.
Yeah.
7. So the answer is 12. Okay. So now I subtract and I can say 1 from 1 is 0, 1 from 1 is 0, 1 from 0 I can't do. So I try to borrow and I can't borrow until I get over to this 1. So I cross that out and make this a 1, 0. So that's not where I need it. So I leave a 1 here and make this a 1, 0. 1 from 1, 0 is 1. 0 from 1 is 1. And if I look at that, that's got a 4 and an 8, so it's a 12. So that ended up being a 12. Questions? Okay. The next thing is the hexadecimal numbering system. Okay. That's fun?
Yeah.
Okay, so we've now got the hexadecimal numbering system, which means we're working with 16 to the powers. So 16 to the 0 power is 1. 16 to the first power is 16. 16 to the second power is 16 times 16, or 256. And 16 cubed, or 16 to the third power, is 4,096. And I don't remember what 16 to the fourth power is. But you can do the multiply and come up
with
that.
There.
Mm-hmm. Do I have it to the...
Yeah, is it the fourth right there?
No, it's only to the third.
The next one?
Further down. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so further down, I have it at 65,536. Okay, so, yeah. Okay, so now I've got converting hexadecimal to decimal. So I am taking and using these numbers. But wait a minute, there's an A there. And 16 implies more than 0 through 9. I need more digits than 0 through 9. And so if you look up above, the digits that I'm going to have are 0, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, A, B, C, D, E, F. And those are traditionally written uppercase. Okay, so A carries the same value as decimal 10. B carries the same value as decimal 11. C is 12. D is 13, E is 14, F is 15. Okay. So I've got all of those digits that count. So when I see an A here, I treat it like a 10. Okay, so when I see the A, I treat it like a 10. If I see a B, I treat it like an 11. So when I count in hexadecimal, it's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 9, 8, 9, A, B, C, D, E, F. What would come next?
G.
Nope, no G's.
Oh.
So what comes after F?
1, 0.
1, 0. Okay, because F plus 1 is 1, 0. Okay, there is no digit further, just like in decimal. 9 is the top 0, top number, so 9 plus 1 moves over to the next position and is 1, 0. In binary, 1 is the highest number, so 1 plus 1 is 1, 0. Okay, so in decimal, the highest digit is 9, plus 1 is 1, 0. In binary, 1 plus 1 is 1, 0. In hex, F plus 1 is 1, 0. Okay, so when you get to the top number, you move over to the next place, position, and put a 1 there. So F plus 1 is 1, 0. Just wanted to make sure I hadn't skipped something. Okay, so what I did here in converting hexadecimal to decimal, I said 10 times 16 to the third, which is 10 times 4096, and I got that answer. 3 times 16 squared is 3 times 256. 5 times 16 to the first is 80. And 9 times 16 to the zero is 9. So that converts to 41817. So then when they want to go back the other direction, I'm going to give you something to do first, and then we'll look at converting decimal to binary. So if I have B3D in hexadecimal, and I want to know what that is in decimal. Okay, so try that. Remember what it says up at the top. A is a 10, B is an 11, C is a 12, D is a 13, E is a 14, F is a 15. Thank you. Anybody have an answer?
2,877.
Anybody agree? Huh? Okay, we're getting a lot of yeses, so that looks good. So how did you do it? We start out by saying 16 to the 0 is defined as 1. This is 16. This is 256. Okay? So D times 1 is 13. 16 times 3 is what?
48.
48. 256 times 11.
2,816.
I will take your word for it, but I'll check it anyway. 256. 256. 2,816. Mm-hmm. And so I take the 2,816 and add in the 48 and the 13. And that's 7, carry the 1, 7, 8, 2. So that is the right answer. Okay? So I convert it over and then I can figure out what it should be. Okay? So I'm multiplying by the powers of 16 by the face value. And D has a face value of 13. And B has a face value of 11. So 11 times 256 plus 3 times 16 plus 1 times 13. Okay, gives me my right answer. Okay, so now converting back the other way. So let's say that I am starting out with, as they do here, they try to figure out how many of each thing we can use. So I've got 1, 16, actually I'm going to do it in a different color. I've got 1, 16, 256, 4,096. Okay, so I look at that answer, the 2,877, and I'm trying to convert that back. Clearly, I don't need 4,096. And I can put a zero there, but leading zeros don't have any meaning any more than they do in decimal, okay? So I don't bother. So now my question is, how many 256s go into 2,877? Okay, so I have to find out how many times I can use the 256. Okay, so I do the math, and for one thing, what I always do when I do the math is I take, okay, I've got 2,877. That looks like it's using a lot of them, so I'm going to subtract 2,560, which would be 10 of them. 7, 1, 3. So that means, okay, that means I can use 11 of them. Okay, because 10 of them gave me 2,560, but there was still 317 left. And so if I subtract 256 from 317, I got a 1. This is a 61. So I've got 61 left. So that means I used 11 of these, which makes it a B. Okay, I used 11 of those. Now how many 16s can I get into 61? Okay, 4 of them would be 64, so that's too many. So 3 of them will work. Okay. So three of them will work. And that's 16, 32, 48. So that leaves me 13 left over. And that means I can use one 13 times. And that's a D. So that's how I convert back, is going through this. And it's kind of a pain. But that's the exercise that you go through in converting back. That's right. So, you have the calculator that you can use to do this. So I'm going to be also obviously giving you homework on this. And I'm going to say that if you don't show me the work, you can't get full credit, because I actually want you to go through the labor and be comfortable with the binary. But the flip side of that is nobody should get anything but 100, because you should check your answers using the calculator. And the calculator will tell you whether you're right or wrong. So, where is the calculator?
Right there.
Right there. Oops, what did I just do? Okay, so this is the standard calculator. And what you want is the programmer calculator. And in the programmer calculator, they let you choose what numbering system you want to be in. If you want to be in hex, you want to give them something in hex, something in decimal, something in octal, which we're not getting into, or something in binary. Okay. So I'm going to say that I'm going to give them something in hex. So I click on hex, and notice it added the A, B, C, D, E, F. And if I then click on the B, 3, D, and say, what does that equal? Okay. Add. No? Convert.
No, it tells you right there, the decimal. See, it says decimal.
Oh, yeah. Okay, I was, for some reason, expecting it to come up with an answer. So there's the decimal, which is 2877. And if I converted it to binary, it even tells me what the binary would be. Okay, so there is the hexadecimal. So as I said, I want to see the work, but in fact, nobody should get any of these wrong, because you can go in and check them in the calculator and make sure that you've got the right answer. Okay? So there's the 2877. So switch the calculator over the programmer, and then you can work with any of these numbering systems. So the next thing we get into is the idea of counting within decimals. And as I asked you before, what comes after F? And it would be 10. Okay, and then 11, and then 12. So decimal and hexadecimal are equivalent till we get to 9. But then decimal runs out of digits, and we go to A for 10, B for 11, and so forth. When we use up all the digits, we switch over to 10. And then go 1112 and all of that. Okay? And in binary, 1000 means the 8 is turned on. So that's equivalent to 8 in decimal and 8 in hex. 1001 means the 8 and the 1 are turned on. So that's 9 and 9. 1010 means the 8 and 2 is turned on, which is 10, which is A. And you can go through and figure those out with the binary equivalent and the hexadecimal equivalent. So if I come down here and I say, okay, here's the binary, here's the hexadecimal. And if I, the reason that I want to know the equivalence between binary and hexadecimal, and the reason I go as high as I do, is that hexadecimal, okay, every hexadecimal digit can be expressed with four binary bits or binary digits. And every four binary bits or digits can be expressed with one hexadecimal. Okay, so that's why hex was chosen, is because every four binary bits, all combinations that use four bits or four digits, can be expressed with one hexadecimal. And every hexadecimal can be turned into four binary bits. So that means if you're looking inside memory and want a dump of memory, it's a lot easier to read hexadecimal than it is to read all that cluster of ones and zeros that comes at you. And so that was the reason that hexadecimal was chosen as a translation. So ASCII, which is the code we're going to look at, is going to have eight bits, or eight digits. Okay, eight bits makes a byte. And so, therefore, if we've got eight bits, we can divide them up into groups of four, and every character that you hit on the keyboard is going to be expressible in eight binary bits, or eight digits, but that also can be expressed in two hexadecimals. Okay, so if I have down here this string of 8, 1110011111, that can be expressed as a C and an F. So instead of reading all of those binary bits, and I can say C and F, okay, which is a lot easier to read. And if you've ever looked at a stream of binary, it's almost impossible to read.
So then every single one is always broken up. Like, you never do, like, six, like if you have binary, right, six digits or
yes,
something.
Well, if you're doing the translation to hex,
okay,
you just do four. Right. Okay. Now, there are other reasons why you might want to look at five digits, and mm-hmm. we'll get into those when we start looking at ASCII. Originally, there was a system called Octal, and Octal had six binary digits, and that's, it was a code that had six binary digits, and that was relatable to Octal, because in three characters you can go up to a seven. Okay, so every three binary characters could be represented with one octal character, because octal was 0 through 7. So an older code was that didn't allow for a lower case. It was just one case. It didn't allow for the alphabet twice. Okay? So ASCII allows for a lot more characters, and it all has eight binary bits. Eight bits maybe, like. So now let's do a little translating there. Thank you. So that shows the conversion one way or another. So if I have...
So it's higher.
Now that comes it off. Okay. So I want to translate this into hex. And to do that, I start making the four characters over with the unit's position. So I start breaking it up to four. If I don't have an even breakup, then I act like there were leading zeros to give me four, groups of four. So break that up into groups of four and tell me what it is. As I said, if it's not an even multiple of four, then the leading zeros go in the front. Or you act like leading zeros are in the front. You don't have to put them there, but act like they're there. So what's the answer to this?
1739.
Yep. So this is 1739. So it's 1739 in octal, so that's a base 16. And that's when it's important to write down the base, because 1739 doesn't give a letter that gives you a hint, it's a hex. Okay, so you don't know what it is. So, let's try one more and see if I can come up with one that will need an A. What's that? Okay, what do you got?
FDB9.
Anybody buy that?
Yeah.
Okay. So I break it up into groups of four and act like there's another zero in front of you. So that's a three. That's the F. Because I count off 1, 2, 4, 8,
and that's 15. 1, 2, 4, and 8 of 15, and 15 is an F. Here I've got 1, 4, and 8, which is a 13. And what's a 13? Okay, a D. And here I've got a 1, 2, and 8, so that's an 11. And so that is a what? B. And here I've got 9, an 8 and a 1. So I've got 9. So that breaks up into 3FDB9 in base 16.
And then the last one, which is really easy. That's close enough. Okay, is going from hexadecimal to binary. So if I give you C8E59, and this is going to be translated into binary.
That's cool. How did the markers do that?
Just putting the pens down and a little bit off.
Really?
Will suddenly decide I'm going to mix blue and green because they're next to each other.
That's
cool. Probably couldn't do it if I tried.
Yeah.
I'm not even going to ask you for what this is because it's such a long string of ones and zeros.
Yes.
So anyway, you can do it two ways. You can know that a C is a 1100, okay, because you've got a chat sitting on your whatever. And so you can know the C is a 1100 and you can write that. Or you can say C is a 12, 12 is an 8 and 4, turn on the 8, turn on the 4, turn off the 0 and 1. So you can do it that way. And I should move it down a little bit because I'm not going to put it all in. And then an 8 is turning on the 8. So the 1, 2, and 4 are going to be off. But the 8 is going to be on. E is a 14, and again, you can look over here, or you can say 14 is 8 and 4 and 2. So I'm going to turn on 8, 4, 2, and the 1 is off. Then the 5 is 0, 1, 0, 1, because 5 is 4 and 1 turned on. And 9 is 1, 0, 0, 1, because it's 8 and 1 turned on. So that's the binary for that. Okay. So that's how you get the binary. Okay, we will look at computer codes next time. I also want to tell you that over break I will be assigning each of you a mentor that you have to interview via email. The mentors are people that graduated from this program and are now working in the field. And the questions that you're going to ask them are questions related to what do they do? What's their job? Do they like it? Are they bored? Are they challenged? and questions that you would like to know. So I'm not going to give you the questions, but I'm going to tell you that you then have to write information about, you know, what their job was and information about their job, basically. So each of you will get assigned a mentor that is, as I said, an alumni from this program that's out working in the field. A lot of them making very good money, and a lot of them making more money than I am. And so watching my students be even more successful is wonderful. But they're making really, you know, they're doing impressive things. So we will be assigning a mentor over break, and you can communicate with them via email.
All righty.
When will we get this homework?
It will probably go up sometime tomorrow.
Okay.
Oh, it'll definitely go up sometime tomorrow. Okay. Not probably.
Oh, it's hot here, huh?
Yeah, I know. This morning it was.
Not as bad as it sometimes is.
Holy crap.
If the sun's out, it can get really warm in here.
Yeah.
In fact, I like cloudy days when I'm teaching because also the sun shines right and these things don't work. So the sun shines right on the monitor.
Oh, that don't work. That sucks.
No.
How's your husband doing?
He's doing real well.
Good.
He's, you know, seems almost back to normal. Mm.
Wow, that's great to hear, huh?
Yeah.
You know,